Okay, Paul is going to come and read our reading today, and it's from John chapter 20 and verses 1 to 18.
Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her.
Thanks, Paul. 2 years ago, Paul, my husband and myself, we went to see a play called Fram, and it was at the National Theatre. And I think it's fair to say it was by far the worst play I have ever seen in my whole entire life. We spent 2 hours watching intently, trying to work out what the point of this play was. Then the curtain came down and we, along with quite a lot of people in the theatre, streamed out, went home and tried to make sense of what we'd seen, because to be fair, we didn't understand the point of it all. It wasn't until about a week or so later, Paul called me up and he said, "Jen, I've just read a review about that play that we saw." I said, "Okay, was it good?" And he said, "Well, you know, they were talking about it, but when we actually left, it was actually the interval, which is half time, okay?" So we made the mistake of leaving at the interval. We didn't stay to see the whole of the play. And in doing so, the play didn't make sense because we didn't see the closing act. I'm not quite sure whether my life was worth wasting another 2 hours on boredom. But the play didn't make sense because we didn't see the end act. And I think that that's quite true for Jesus' disciples. For many of them, they would have heard Jesus say, "This is what the whole play is going to be. I'm going to live, I'm going to die, I'm going to be buried, and 3 days later, I'm going to rise from the dead." But the disciples didn't quite get it. They didn't stick around to see the closing act, because we get to Easter Sunday, and as Paul just read, there wasn't a massive crowd gathered around the tomb waiting for Jesus' final act, for him to be raised to life, and for there to be this massive celebration. They weren't around waiting, and in doing so, they left at the interval. They didn't stay around till the end. Yet we've got Mary, who's one of Jesus' followers, and she goes to the tomb really, really early. I mean, like proper early-ish. And she goes and she wants to finish off the burial preparations for Jesus. And you need to bear in mind that just a couple of days earlier, she was one of the people who were at the cross. And she's probably going to the tomb with images of the cross fresh in her mind. And with things, words that were spoken by Jesus and around the foot of the cross fresh in her mind. And she goes to the tomb and she turns up and a stone has been rolled away and there's no body inside the tomb. Now that should be a cause for great celebration. For us here today, we're here celebrating the fact that the tomb was empty. But for Mary, this led to great, great anguish. She was so upset that the body of her Lord and Saviour had been taken away. And she didn't know where it had gone. And we read on that she went and she went to get two disciples to come and to investigate the situation. And Peter and John, they came along. And we read they came, they believed, they went. The angels appeared to Mary, but none of those things stilled the anguish that she had in her heart. She remained outside of the tomb in sorrow, crying in heartache that her Lord had been taken away. The angel said to her, Mary, why are you crying? Why are you crying? And it's the simple fact, she come to the tomb expecting to see a dead Jesus, but in fact she saw nothing. Nothing was there. Until the moment when Jesus appears, which I just think is quite amazing, because he turns up and he says to Mary, why are you crying? For the second time, she's been asked the same question. Why are you crying, Mary? Who is it you're looking for? And Mary looks at Jesus and doesn't recognize him. She sees him with her physical eyes, but doesn't recognize who he is as a person. And she says, do you know where my Lord's been taken? Do you know? She thinks he's a gardener. She doesn't get it. She doesn't get that this is Jesus. And then in one of the most, I think, tender moments in Scripture, Jesus just simply says, Mary. And with that one word, that one name, her life is transformed. She realizes this familiar voice and it's like the scales are removed from before her eyes and Eureka, she has it. This is Jesus. She realizes and calls out, Rabboni, teacher, it's you. Jesus, you are here. Imagine someone you think is dead and buried and then the body's been taken away, suddenly comes before you and calls you by name. She finally understands that her Lord is before her. And I think that's quite amazing because she realizes in that eureka moment, in that moment where she says, I have it, I get it, I get it. You're Jesus, you're here, you're not dead, the body's not been taken away, you are here and you are living. She realizes that Jesus is more than a gardener. He's more than a gardener. And more so than that, in that eureka moment, the moment where the penny drops, her life is completely and utterly changed. It's completely transformed. The sorrow, the sadness is turned to joy. The end point, the hopelessness is turned to hope. The death is turned to life. Jesus has completely transformed her perception of everything. In that tender moment when Jesus calls Mary, her life is transformed in a way that I don't think we can actually imagine. See, she went to the tomb thinking it was the end. And actually Jesus said, Mary. And Mary realizing it's Jesus, she realizes he's actually the only, the beginning. There's so much more still to come. And I just think, how privileged must it have been for Mary to go to the tomb and to be the first person to encounter the risen Lord. Now, you need to bear in mind, this is a woman who is really much living in a man's world, okay? This kind of thing didn't happen to women, and certainly didn't happen to Mary. Now, I don't know if you know anything about Mary, but we read elsewhere in the gospel accounts that she had seven demons cast out of her, okay? So this isn't a perfect woman who had led a perfect life, who deserved to have Christ visit her. She's just a regular person who's messed up, made mistakes, and yet Jesus takes the time out to appear to her and to spend time with her. What a privilege that is. And I think in that eureka moment, we can see that actually Mary has a real hope instilled in her again. And You know, for us this morning, we don't have the privilege in many respects of being able to meet Jesus face to face in a physical way that Mary did. But through the Spirit and through faith, we can meet with Jesus in just an amazing way today as Mary did then. And when Mary encountered Christ, she was very much given a hope for the here and now and a hope for the future. And Vince mentioned earlier that about the hope that we can have. And the fact is, Jesus can meet us in our really kind of sorrowful lives, in our messed up lives, and he can bring a real joy. In the same way that Mary's life was transformed, he can do that for us. See, we can have a companion, a best friend in the here and now. But more than that, Jesus rising from the dead means that the rubbish stuff that happens in life, the sorrow, the pain, the hurt, when we get picked on at school, when things just aren't very nice, we know that there's a purpose to it. We know that this life isn't in vain. And I think that's quite fantastic. But you know, with God, he always takes it a step further. And it's not just we have hope for here and now, hope for today, but we have hope for the future. See, when Jesus rose from the dead, it meant that Good Friday wasn't the end. It meant that death wasn't the end. Jesus rising from the dead confirmed very much who he said that he was. He was God. He came to the earth and he took our punishment that we deserve upon him. And he died and he came back to life. And death has been beaten. And you know what? If we trust in Jesus, you know, we haven't got to go through all these things and do all these things and do nice things and keep rituals to earn God's love and approval. We just have to have faith in God, and we know for certainty, without a shadow of a doubt, that we've got hope in the future, that when we die, we get to spend eternity with Jesus. And I think that that is quite impressive. I don't know about you this morning, but you might know great teachers, be it Christian or otherwise, or great people who have lived. But unlike Jesus, those people wouldn't have come back to life. There's no teacher in the history of the world, no good person in the history of humanity who's died and come back to life. Yet Jesus has. He conquered the grave and the tomb is empty. I don't know this morning if you've had your eureka moment, that moment of realization of who Jesus is. But the good news is that Jesus calls us all by name. And he calls you by name this morning. And if you don't know who Jesus is, if you haven't had that moment where you say, "Eureka, I've got it, I know who this man is," then he calls you by name this morning. And I wonder how you're going to respond to that. For those of you maybe who have had that eureka moment, maybe years and years ago when you came to know Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, the good news is it doesn't end there for us. Poor old Mary, she had this really early morning, this massive shock, this realisation of who Jesus was, and she couldn't then go home and go to sleep, okay? Instead, Jesus says, "Do you know what? Don't hold on to me. I want you to do something, Mary. I want you to go and tell other people." And Mary does that. Off she goes to the disciples. And in that moment, the resurrection turns from being something really personal to being something universal. It becomes good news for everyone, all people of all time, no matter what language they speak, no matter what country they live in. And she simply goes to the disciples and says, "I have seen the Lord." She doesn't stand there for hours and hours preaching, but she simply says, "I have seen the Lord." And I think that's fantastic news, that we can tell other people in a way that doesn't have to be long-winded, it don't have to be boring, we can simply say, "Jesus is alive." And I bet you'll get a reaction if you go and say that to people. I don't know about you, but when I've got good news to tell, if a good thing's happened, if Arsenal have actually won a game, I like to share and I like to talk about that with other people. And perhaps that's the same for you too. You know, you go out for a nice meal, you want to share that with your friends, you want to big up a restaurant to your neighbours. And the good thing is, this morning we're celebrating something so much more better than an Arsenal victory, than a nice restaurant that we've eaten in, than good news of a family engagement. We're celebrating that Jesus is alive. And you know, I really want to encourage you this morning that Vince said earlier that you know, it's really easy for the Easter message to become familiar, and I think it is, and I think I'm often really guilty of that, and I really cherish Good Friday services and Easter Sunday services to refocus my mind on actually this is amazing stuff that we've got. And I just really want to encourage you this morning that don't let Easter pass by without telling someone. Make the effort to tell someone who you haven't told before that Jesus is alive. See, it's good news for those people who haven't encountered Christ, but it's good news for us as believers this morning that we can go and we can take that message, take that hope, that we've got hope in the future and hope in the here and now, and we can share it with people. We should be shouting that from the rooftops this morning, and it's great that we can come together and do that together as a church family, but let's not let Easter Sunday finish here. Let's go out and let's share that with people this morning. I'm just going to pray. Father God, thank you for the amazing fact that not only did Jesus die to take our sins away, but he conquered death and came back to life. And we just think of what it must have been like for Mary to encounter Jesus and just to have her mind completely blown away. And Father, the way that Jesus called her simply by name and said, Mary, and she had that eureka moment where she recognized who he was. I pray for us here this morning who perhaps don't know who you are, God. We don't fully understand. I pray that you'd help us to get it this morning. I pray that the penny would really drop this morning in our hearts and in our minds. And Father, I pray that we'd come to a real knowledge that you give us great hope today and in the future that we can spend eternity with you. And Father, for us too, who perhaps have had that eureka moment, that moment of realizing who Christ is many years ago, I pray that that will be revitalized in us this morning. I pray that we would really have that passion and that enthusiasm to share that good news with our friends and with our neighbours. In Jesus' name, amen.